This past Sunday, we begin looking at the gifts of the wise men, and the question that I've been asking is, are these gifts hinting at anything? Were they chosen and included by Matthew for a reason? And if so, do they tell us something about the life and ministry and purpose of Jesus Christ? And we started with gold, the medal of kings, the same precious medal that a vassal would give as tribute to his lord. And of course, it's easy to run here with the kingship of Jesus. And it explains why the wise men arrived asking, where is he who has been born king of the Jews? But what's so special about a king? Right? There's like 42 of them named in just the Old Testament. There's a king in Jerusalem when the wise men arrive named Herod. What's so special about this king? Why would they make that long journey from the east? And a better question is, why would they bow down and worship him? Think about it. If those Jews in Jerusalem were already confused by these foreign stargazers showing up, they're really going to be confused and offended when these same men say, we have come to worship him. What king is worthy of that? Paul tells us that kings are instituted by God. Kings are owed our respect and honor, but not our worship. Not even angels are to be worshipped. And so what is so incredibly different about this king? Well, he's the one that Bill read of. Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. He's the one that Preston read of. Emmanuel, God with us. This king is God, and therefore he is not only worthy of our worship, but he demands it. And so in addition to gold, what is the second gift that is given to the baby king? Frankincense. What was that? A gift to God. It was a perfume, an incense that was used in worship. It was a pleasing aroma offered in thanksgiving and praise to God that he was delighted to receive. It was this fragrant offering, this element of worship that was laid before him. And to quote Origen again, the wise men gave gold as to a king and incense as to God. But what about everyone else? You know, all the residents in Jerusalem. These strangers show up and tell them that their king has been born. These strangers speak of their one great hope, that the fulfillment of the promise made 1,000 years earlier to David, that one of his descendants would sit on the throne and reign forever. That was their hope. And the wise men arrive and say, he's here, but we don't know where he is. And those in Jerusalem know where to find him. They open up their copies of Micah and say, yes, he's supposed to be born in Bethlehem. That's 25 miles that way. And yet no one goes with them. It is the most important event that's happened in their lives and in the life of the nation and in the whole world. But no one seems to even be curious about this news. In his commentary, J.C. Ryle wrote that, quote, familiarity with sacred things has an awful tendency to make people despise them. End quote. That's obviously the case with the residents of Jerusalem. They're used to the temple. They're used to worship. They're used to the scriptures. They're used to their prayers and their festivals. So used to it all that they're totally numb when this news comes. There's a similar saying that familiarity breeds contempt. Have you heard it? Church, is there anything more familiar to us than a Christmas Eve service? There are just certain things you can count on. Singing beautiful, theologically rich carols. You'll hear the passage of Isaiah read. You'll hear the Christmas story in Luke 2. You'll take the Lord's Supper. At the ending of the service, we'll all light candles and sing Silent Night. Most of us knew exactly what to expect when we showed up tonight. Because for most of us, this has been every Christmas Eve since childhood. And there's nothing wrong with that. Just like there was nothing wrong with the temple and the scriptures and the festivals in Jerusalem. Where's the problem? It's in the heart. The Apostle John captures this incredible incuriosity and unbelief in the first chapter of his gospel. He writes, "The true light, which gives light to everyone, was coming into the world. He was in the world, and the world was made through him. Yet the world did not know him. He came to his own, and his own people did not receive him." Church, I am glad you are here tonight. I know that there are 1,000 other things you could be doing on Christmas Eve. But your presence tonight isn't enough to keep me from asking where your heart is. Tradition, simply for the sake of tradition, is a reality. Surely there were many people in Jerusalem who never missed one festival. Year after year, they'd been going to the same feast from birth. But those same people were uninterested in making the 25-mile walk to Bethlehem to see if the news was true. Maybe Raul was right when he said that familiarity with sacred things has an awful tendency to make people despise them. But may those words not be true of us tonight, saints. The true light, which gives light to everyone, has come into the world. And by God's grace, may that reality, may the true meaning of Christmas dumbfound us, as if for the first time. May it dumbfound us that our God came down to dwell with us, and he continues to commune with us as he will at this table. And when we ponder these things in our own hearts, surely we can offer more than our allegiance. We can give more than our time and our treasure. Let's join the wise men and give more than gold. Let's also give him our worship. Saints, quick question. What does the Bible compare to this incense? Two things. The first would be prayers. your prayers. Psalm 141:2 says, "Let my prayer be counted as incense before you." In Revelation 5 and Revelation 8, John sees an angel who is before the throne of God offering up incense and the prayers of the saints, and they waft up to God. You know, I have a small bottle of frankincense at home. One of you gave it to me this week, and I jokingly said, "Next time, bring gold." You might not have frankincense readily available, but you do have your prayers. Offer them up to Him. Offer up prayers of praise that recount who our God is. And offer up prayers of thanksgiving as we recount what our God has done and what He's doing. You know, these angels that we've been reading of and singing of this evening, some of them are in heaven now, holding golden incense bowls full of our prayers. Let's add to those bowls tonight and tomorrow and give Christ our King a pleasing aroma. The Bible compares our prayers to incense, and it does the same, here's number two, with our love for one another. In Ephesians 5, Paul says that as beloved children, we are to imitate God and walk in love for one another, just as Christ loved us and gave Himself for us. And Paul says that when you do this, it is a fragrant offering and sacrifice to God. Again, you may not have frankincense in your cabinet, but by the Spirit's power, you can love one another. There's another example in Philippians 4:18. Paul is in prison. And this was long before an inmate could expect 3 hot meals and a cot. But the church in Philippi, out of their love and concern, sent Paul what he needed. And Paul writes to them saying, "I am well supplied, having received from Epaphroditus the gifts you sent." And listen to what Paul calls these supplies: a fragrant offering, a sacrifice acceptable and pleasing to God. So what then is the appropriate response to the Christmas story? This is a season of giving. What on earth could we possibly give back to our God who gave us His Son? Prayers. Prayers of praise and thanksgiving and love for one another. Scripture tells us that He will find both pleasing and acceptable. And isn't that almost exactly what the angels were singing as they filled the sky on that first Christmas night? What were they singing? "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth, peace among those with whom He is pleased." Let's pray. Father, when we think of this gift and what we offer You, we do confess, like Newton said, that the effort of our hearts is weak and our warmest thoughts are cold. And yet You are not a God who quenches a faintly burning wick. You delight in even a wisp of incense offered to You. So accept these gifts we bring. Accept our prayers. And accept our love for one another through Christ our Lord. Amen.